your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. You are listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today, it's a wrap, guys. We made it. We made it the whole way to the Stanley Cup Final. The biggest trophy, the best trophy in sports was awarded, something that many of us, myself included, did not really think was going to happen. Didn't think that the bubble, the whole playoff plan was going to actually work. And I've never been more excited to be wrong because that was a pretty wild ride, I think, for everybody. My name is Sarah Pompato. I am your host also of Locked On Los Angeles Kings, and I am here with my Wednesday bubble partner in crime, Tom Gazzola, who is our part-time Oilers guy, part-time Locked On NHL guy, and is finally, mercifully free of the bubble. So what's the first thing you're going to do now that you don't have to ever go back there in the bubble scenario again?
Goodness. I don't know. I need to let my liver figure itself out. That's for sure, Sarah. I mean, there was some celebrating after the win, and not because the Stanley Cup was won or anyone from the media was cheering for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's just, I think everyone was overjoyed that this unique, prolonged, bizarre experience had finally concluded. And on Monday night, the visiting media finally let their hair down. One big last hurrah, because I will say there was a lot of nights where the media let their hair down and had some fun. But yes, that one on Monday was the biggest and the best. And bless all of them for coming into town, some of them via Toronto, and dealing with the long days, the triple headers, and all of that. And now we can finally exhale and start focusing on, oh yeah, the draft in a few days. And oh yeah, free agency in a few days, because it just doesn't stop. This train is just humming down the track, Sarah.
It feels super weird to be thinking about the Stanley Cup and the draft, and it is almost October. Right. You know, I was looking back at my phone and like, you know, these are things that you did last year, and it's all preseason hockey. And here we are a year removed from the very beginnings, the inklings of the 2019-20 season, and it's finally done. So no matter what comes next, it's going to be weird, but maybe not quite as weird as the whole bubble experience. But I think that we made it, and that's the important part, is that it was successful. And Gary Bettman, for once, looks pretty good compared to some of the issues that we have seen in other sports. We didn't get the chance to boo him unless you booed at home. But I think that, you know, a lot of people obviously like the tradition of booing him. But this year I was kind of okay with it, actually. Of obviously he is not in charge of every last little decision, but he is the face of the leadership of the NHL. And they pulled it off. They pulled off something that so many people did not think was going to work. And so I wasn't too upset to not actually get to shout mean things at my television this time around. Just this year, though.
Oh, you'll make the exception, right?
Yeah, just once. Next year, though, we'll go back to it.
And that's totally fair. It is, and I'm sure that there's many who share that sentiment with you. And you know, being a commissioner, I'm sure is not easy. You deal with the owners, you work for them, and owners can be crazy and they can be demanding and they can be off the wall, and you got to kind of settle them all down and get them on the same mind frame or collective frame mentally. And that can be a challenge. It's like herding cats, but there is some credit to be given to Gary Bettman, Bill Daly, even Donald Fehr, because what we got out of this was the conclusion to the season. We saw the Stanley Cup hoisted on Monday night. Fantastic. You know, the league gets some revenue back. We know that there's going to be a season at some point in 2020, 2021, whether it's December, mid-December, January, mid-January, that's yet to be determined. The league gets through this unscathed in terms of COVID. So the bubble clearly worked. And on top of that, we got a renewed CBA, which, you know, was a big part of the return to play. And for once, at least in my lifetime, some cohesion among the PA and the league. And they were almost in lockstep, which is amazing considering how many lockouts we've gone through. We went through the 2004-05 year where there was no season whatsoever. And we're at a point 15 years later, Sarah, where it's like, wow, the league got through this and they worked with the PA. And you're almost like, what's going on here? And yes, it is bizarro world. And yes, it is in the middle of a pandemic, but they made it work. It's incredible. So we'll hold off the boos for Gary Bettman this year. Nobody's going to boo him at the draft. I'm assuming they're doing it in a studio, NHL Network, whatever, Sportsnet, whatever. But I feel like because it was a missed opportunity, like you mentioned, this year, next year, the boos will be that much more loud.
I'm just imagining, I don't know who the feistiest general manager is, who the one who is like the wild card is, but just in my heart, I would love for just one GM to boo him. It would never happen, but it would be so delightful.
Oh, could you imagine? That would be something.
I feel like it would be like, yeah, I don't even know. I feel like I have to ponder that. Who would be the one to just go completely off script and
well,
and,
Brian
and do
Burke, if
crazy.
He was still a GM, that would be my vote. I'm thinking of the guys right now, and they're all pretty tame and docile, and I don't know if any of them would go crazy. But if there was one GM that I could think of, would be Berkey.
Yeah, we can get him to crash the Zoom, maybe.
Yeah, maybe make him an honorary GM for a day during the draft, and then he can provide the booing.
Yeah, they can. Some team can use the help of him. Sure. Just jumping in there.
He knows everything.
We've got more chatter from the bubble, including some of Tom's favorite, most memorable moments of his time up in the Edmonton bubble. That is coming up next on the show. But first, I want to tell you about a new book that is coming out. It is called Lives of the Stoics. From the best-selling authors of The Daily Stoic comes the ultimate stoicism guide to success, resilience, and virtue, to accept what you cannot control and adapt to what you can. Sports teams across the country are applying this popular philosophy by using stoicism's key idea. You control how you respond and play. You don't control what the refs and fans do or how the ball bounces. It's all about what you did to adapt. Lives of the Stoics, The Art of Living from Zeno to Marcus Aurelius is available now wherever books are sold.
So it is a wrap, like I said, from the bubble. And as someone who was there and who had to endure the weirdness and the strange food and the lack of a toaster, I remember you saying,
yeah.
You know, obviously the memory of being there for the Stanley Cup and seeing that happen, you know, is going to be something that is a little of a once in a lifetime thing. Even if you cover every Stanley Cup final from here on out, you know, the bubble cup is going to be always a little bit different, a little bit more memorable in some ways than others. What are kind of your favorite moments from being in there, favorite experiences or, you know, little weird things or anecdotes that those of us on the outside wouldn't really get to appreciate because we're sitting at home booing at our televisions?
Right. Well, there's certainly a lot of quirks, and I'm one of the lucky few that was able to slide in and out. Let's call it like, it was weird because we were in the arena, but we weren't embedded totally in the bubble. So we'd be in and out, and we were the lucky few that were able to do that. The people within the bubble, tough go for them, and they endured it. And you know, listen, it was the players, it was the teams, it was the staffs, but there was also the behind-the-scenes people working on the broadcast that were in the bubble. All of them, the rink crews, were kind of in and out of the bubble. They had to get tested. And there's all these little nuances of the bubble, but the one thing that now that this is over that I'm more than happy to tell this story, and it'll be in my book, and it was cool covering this Stanley Cup in this COVID era and the bubble year and all of that. But my good friends who work for a certain WHL team, let's call it the Edmonton WHL team, were part of the bubble. They were embedded and they were helping out with the equipment staff. They were helping out with disinfecting benches, taking care of laundry. Like, they were jacks of all trades because that's how good they are. They are pro-level guys that should be in the NHL and will be in the NHL at some point. But it was end of the third round. I get this text saying, hey, Tom, we're so sick of the three restaurants that we are stuck with here. Can you do us a favor? And I was like, for you guys, anything. They're longtime friends. So I go, what do you need? And they go, hey, it's Big Mary Monday at Mary Brown's, which is an Eastern Canadian fried chicken chain. Very popular. It's made its way out west. And Big Mary is just Mary Brown's chicken sandwich. Phenomenal. You can get spicy mayo. You get the buffalo breaded stuff that makes it even spicier. And I was like, all right, boys, because one of them's an East Coaster from Newfoundland. I'm like, what do you need? So I pick up this huge order of Big Marys and taters, and I'm walking to the arena through downtown with this massive bag of Mary Brown's chicken and taters. And I have to call like one when I'm a block away, and I get the signal, okay, we're at the door. Meet us at this specific door in the next 30 seconds. And we'll make the exchange. And it was like I was doing a drug deal with Mary Brown's chicken, Sarah. And
chicken
it was a chicken drop. And like we both looked both ways to see if anyone was looking. I handed the massive bag off, fist bumped, and they said, okay, see you later. We gotta go. This is risky. And away they went and had their Mary Browns. And it was like this drug deal because I brought them this damn chicken from Mary Brown's on Big Mary Monday. I'll always remember that. And they sent me videos of them just scarfing this stuff down and just thanking me profusely because it was something different that they just absolutely loved and needed. So there you go. My chicken drop was something I'll always remember, and I'll tell that tale till the day I die.
You know, sometimes it's the little things. Sometimes you just need that chicken.
It's chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken, right?
Very important.
Yeah.
It's like the comfort of, you know, being in a foreign country, and maybe you don't speak the language, and suddenly you round a corner and there is whatever your insert popular fast food chain is. And you're like, I should be experiencing the joys of the food of this country. I should be trying something new and expanding my horizons. But you're like, I just want a burger.
Yes.
I feel like it's the same world of, I just needed that chicken.
that old standby that's always there for you. It's almost as good as a hug and a kiss from mom.
Only, you know, a little more crunchy maybe.
Yes. I hope so.
So I figure we should look at the game just a little bit. We saw the Dallas Stars put up a valiant effort, but they just were no match for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who really dominated that game from the beginning. And by the time Dallas really got into their groove, it was too little too late. And it was kind of a miracle run for Dallas because no one expected them to be here. No one expected them to get past any of the teams that they did. I certainly did not have them advancing anywhere in my bracket. And I think that most people I know also were in the same boat. So what do you think are kind of lessons learned for Dallas kind of going forward, looking at next season? And, you know, I think that every year there's always talk of teams wanting to emulate the winner of the previous year. I mean, Tampa went as far as going and getting Patrick Maroon, who is now a two-time consecutive Stanley Cup winner. That's to sort of fill that role of, you know, the big body in front of the net that they were sort of missing in previous teams. And so everyone always wants to kind of try to pattern their team after the winner. So what are some kind of things that teams are going to start looking forward to doing in the future to try to make themselves the, I guess, discount version of the Tampa Bay Lightning, because you're not getting Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, Nikita Kucherov on your own teams.
Right. I mean, if you want to follow that model, it's like play really bad in the mid-2000s to the point where you get the first overall pick, and then you take a Steven Stamkos and it takes him a while. He, you know, Barry Melrose doesn't even want to play him in his rookie year. Go through that pain, have another bad season, pick up Victor Hedman with another high draft pick, develop this big, huge Swedish defenseman. And then, you know, eventually, you know, you slowly get better. Then you pluck a guy like Kucherov, you develop him slowly. And then you get Ben Bishop from Ottawa, and he's good for a while. But, oh, yeah, you draft this highly touted goalie in Andrei Vasilevskiy. Then give him a little bit time to develop. Go to the Stanley Cup final, lose, go back 5 years later, and all of a sudden you have this unbelievably good team that's, you know, the best team over the last 2 years in the National Hockey League. Tough model to emulate, Sarah, but it's out there. There's a model to do it. I'm being, you know, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, and that's a tough road to go down to try to emulate the Tampa Bay Lightning. They have a great mix of everything. Like, they made Zach Bogosian and Luke Shen look like bona fide NHLers all over again. It's incredible. They had a great supporting cast. You mentioned Patrick Maroon, great pickup. Blake Coleman, great pickup. Cirelli has turned into a good player. Barkley Goodrow became a very integral part of this Stanley Cup run. Mikhail Sergachev was in a great trade for Jonathan Drouin. Like, they just, all these elements, they just put it together. Julian Brisebois picked up where Steve Yzerman left off, and they got over the hump finally. They had a great coach in John Cooper. So that's a really tough model to emulate. There's very little holes in that team.
We continue in our review of the Stanley Cup final of the Stars, the Lightning, and what all of that means for the future, plus a little peek at free agency coming up next on the show. Right now, though, you should know that Built Bar is back, and it is better than ever. If you happen to miss out the first time around with Built Bar, they took a little break, they restocked, they retooled, they came up with new flavors, a brand new texture for the bar. They made it softer, they made it easier to chew, and all of these new flavors are now out, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, carrot cake, and more. So you may be asking yourself, what is Built Bar? Well, it is a protein bar. It is good for you. It is a quick burst of energy when you need it. And it is, most importantly, just super delicious. It's covered in 100% chocolate, yet is still low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, low in calories. It's great if you're on the keto diet. It's great if you are health conscious, or if you are just someone like me who likes a delicious snack that you know isn't going to like ruin your whole day. So do yourself a favor, go to builtbar.com right now. Check out all of the amazing flavors that they have on offer for you. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order on BuiltBar.com. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Now you look at the Stars and they kind of patched it together, but by the end of the series, they were playing without Roope Hintz. Radek Fax is out. Blake Como was out. Steven Johns has been injured. Ben Bishop was injured. They rode Anton Khudobin, who got tired by the end of it. And, you know, even the Stars were an older team. It's going to be interesting to see how they want to retool. Can they make a run again? Can they keep this group together even? Do they think this group is capable of making a run? You're right. It's a bit of a Cinderella run. And prior to the start of the season, I think we all would have said Dallas should be a decent team contending in a tough Central Division. And they came out of the gates terribly, and they slowly put things back together, got on a good run, got over the hump of losing a coach. We know the Jim Montgomery saga. They get behind Rick Bowness. He makes a few adjustments, takes this team to the promised land. And I think just by the end of it, they were running on fumes. And the crazy thing, too, going into this offseason, Sarah, and next week when we talk about free agency, is it, apparently, like, the dam's about to break. And all hell is going to break loose and craziness will ensue. Players we don't expect to be moved being moved. This COVID era of the NHL and the frozen salary cap is just going to create all kinds of chaos. So who knows how to properly assemble a team with, you know, so many question marks. It's going to be fun to watch, but hold on to your butts because I think it's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah, next year feels like, despite anyone's best intentions, I think we can all sort of pencil in the teams that we expect to be making long runs. Again, presuming that next season goes off in any sort of fashion, whether it's the full 82 games that Gary Bettman wants, or whether it's like the lockout year where we play a half season essentially and go right into the playoffs. You know, no matter what it looks like, I think that, yeah, it's going to be full of surprises, and we can expect, you know, Colorado to be back there. We can expect probably Vegas to be back there. But, you know, outside of those teams that are sort of the bona fide top teams in the West, at least, it really is anyone's game. And you could see something, I was going to say, you could see something totally wild, like the Minnesota Wild going on a run, but that feels, it still feels, that doesn't feel like it's going to happen.
How about the LA Kings turning it around on a dime? Could that happen?
I mean, they won. They looked really good until COVID ended everything, and, yeah. and I think that they have a real potential next season, especially with, you know, they've been sending, like many teams have been sending, a bunch of guys overseas to get some practice in and to get some, you know, preseason work in maybe. And we might see some young players who I had thought were going to need a lot of time in the AHL maybe actually be ready to make their NHL debuts, plus whoever they draft at number two. Right. I think they'll still be a bubble team, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them shake everyone's expectations up and do something a little interesting, which means that people will have to stay up real late and watch their games, which probably won't happen.
Those West Coast games are tough for some people. I know in the Pacific time zone, it isn't always easy, but you know, I don't mind watching those ones. At Mountain Time, it's not a big difference. So, but you're right. Out east, that's a big swing in time, and they're not watching the Kings as much.
Yeah, that's fine. Honestly, yeah, anytime the Kings are on national TV, I'm like, you know what? We don't have to do this. We can go show, I don't know, Calgary or something instead. I don't need the whole country to see the shame of my team getting blown out by like the Florida Panthers or something.
Right. Exactly. Totally.
There were a couple of little new, like, trivia anecdotes that I saw whenever the cup was being awarded. And of course, everyone climbs out of the woodwork with interesting trivia. And there were two of them that I thought were pretty interesting. First off, the 2008 NHL draft, the first five players selected have now all won a Stanley Cup. This has never happened before. So Steven Stamkos, Zach Bogosian, and Luke Shen, who if you would have told me those two guys, Bogosian and Shen, were top five draft picks, I would have thought something had gone terribly wrong. But they are all now winners alongside Drew Doughty and Alex Pietrangelo. So that top of the draft class has finally made it to the top of the mountain for hockey. And then someone else also pointed out that Zach Bogosian and Braden Coburn are the first Atlanta Thrashers draft picks to ever win the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
It took 21 years of Thrashers prospects and players cycling through the league, and they're the first two guys to win it. And I think there's only five people who played on the Thrashers who are left in the league. So
wow,
the clock is ticking for pretty much all of them.
Long live the Thrash.
Hey, I have a Marian Hossa Thrashers jersey that I wore to the draft when it was in Chicago, because yep. I was going just as a fan to sit in the stands and hang out. And I got a lot of funny looks from just like the average hockey fans. But then I walked past a group of older men in suits, and you know that they're all hockey men. They all work for some team somewhere. And I got kind of the smile and nod of, all right, I see it. Strong choice.
Yeah, she gets it is what they're thinking. She gets it.
So I'm sure that the last thing I'm sure will be covered in depth in future editions of Locked On NHL. It is the big breaking news as we were getting set to record this. And I figured, even though it's really East Coast news, it is going to be anyone's news and is something that we can also dive into the free agency world. But it is now coming out that the Rangers really are set to buy out Henrik Lundqvist, and the end of an era in New York, and certainly not how he wanted it to end, certainly not what he would have expected. But he, you know, he decided to stay with the team because he felt loyalty to them, and they repaid him by never getting him back to the Stanley Cup final. But that is a huge name out there on the goalie market for a team that is looking to upgrade, to make a better tandem. Even if he is not anywhere near as good as he was in his prime, I think that a lot of teams who have question marks in their goaltending are going to be perking up at this to see how they can add a legend to their roster, especially teams that I think are just very close to the cup, but not quite there yet. So that's going to be some pretty wild movement to see what happens with him.
And let's see what happens if what he wants to do, Sarah. That's the flip side of it, where it's like, this guy was a Ranger through and through. And like you said, end of an era. And does he want to continue his playing career elsewhere because he has no choice now? Or does he want to just ride off into the sunset and live the rest of his life in the Big Apple, always knowing that he was just a Ranger his entire career, rather than, you know, pulling the Martin Brodeur and winding up in St. Louis for part of a year, you know, something crazy like that. If Hank, who's a classy guy by all accounts, wants to do it the right way and just end it as a Ranger, that's something I'm curious to see if he wants to do. But only time will tell.
Yeah, it feels like he's not done, but it's also, I'm just imagining him showing up in like a Carolina Hurricanes jersey.
Oh,
and it feels the dissonance, like just the image of him wearing anything other than a Blue Rangers jersey is really hard to take. But
yeah,
it's certainly going to be a big thing for a lot of teams, a lot of GMs to think about if he is interested in continuing his career. To start picking up that phone and making some calls to see what they can do.
I'm sure I guarantee you that there's going to be GMs phoning. Let's see where Hank's heart is when those calls start coming in.
Well, we will keep an eye on that. We will keep an eye on what happens next with free agency and the draft. Like you said, next week we'll be focusing on all of that and looking at what's going to go down as teams start to try to envision the future in a very uncertain world when we don't exactly know what next year is going to look like. So make sure you come back next week for more draft and free agency talk. And of course, listen to Locked On NHL all week long for more hockey news and thoughts and feelings from all of us over here at Locked On NHL. So thanks for chatting with me today. It's always a pleasure. For listeners out there who want to find you and your work and your information on the internet, where can they find you?
Catch me at Tom Gazzola on Twitter, of course, and then on TSN 1260 if you want to listen to Edmonton Radio or you want to see what's going on in Edmonton sports. I'm your guy.
Well, enjoy being free of the bubble, and hopefully you don't have to do it again. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for listening. Make sure you're subscribing to the show, sharing the links with friends, leaving ratings and reviews, all that great stuff. And we'll be back with more hockey talk. This has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.